Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. It is a Tuesday, and another busy Tuesday it is. Derek Carr reaching out with a text message statement just before we got on air, indicating that he had talked privately with Carl Nassib to express his support and love for Carl Nassib, and then, making the statement that, hey, we talk all the time about the love that's in that Raider locker room, and that's true, and that's going to remain the case. They want to win a championship. They want Carl to be a big part of it. Derek, obviously, giving his support to Carl Nassib, and I think we move on, from here, and I think that's the great thing about, what we've seen in the aftermath of Carl Nassib's announcement, whether it's his jersey now being the number one, the top selling jersey in the NFL, according to Fanatics. The fact that the NFL has matched his contribution to the great organization that Carl is devoting $100,000 to. There's a lot of all the support that he's getting from across the country, the sports world, his colleagues in the NFL, teammates, coaches, the owner, Mark Davis, the team president, Mark Bedain. It's been a great reaction, for Carl Nassib, and it certainly lessens any of the anxiety that he had leading up to this. And he, like you said, it was 15 years that he was dealing with this, and how to say it, whether to say it. And because he's afraid of, he was just like everyone else has been in that situation, kind of afraid of what the reaction was going to be, and what it turned out to be was love. And and I think that that's such a good message, and hopefully it's going to help people that are in a similar situation, that they're going to be able to understand, like, hey, there's love on the other side of this. It doesn't have to be I don't have to suppress things because I'm worried about what that reaction is going to be. So I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think that that's my main takeaway so far. And I think that's an awesome, awesome situation. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line to welcome in our good friend, Les Kekahuna, from Embajador Tequila, my good friend. And he is one of the creative masterminds behind Embajador Tequila. He's a huge, huge, huge sports fan, a huge football fan, a former coach, has helped a bunch of guys that you see in the NFL get to where they've gotten, and there's a whole bunch of other guys coming right behind behind them that Les is helping out, and that includes the Polynesian community, the Polynesian Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, that Les is a big part of, helped start that, helped that get to where it is right now. Les, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the Huddle. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Vinny. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
You got it. You got it. Absolutely. And before we go any further, just a reminder, over at Michael T's on Friday nights, it is Aloha Fridays from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. All the great food that you can eat, and Michael T's does it up with the steaks and the burgers and everything else. Great music that you're going to be able to hear from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. It's live Hawaiian music. Then from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. it's karaoke with a Hawaiian DJ. I'm sure Les will get up there and sing a few tunes for us. And of course, all the Embajador tequila that you could drink. And there's some creative drinks that they serve at Michael T's, and they got you hooked up on that end of it as well. Les, it's been a pretty big day in the last 24 hours, I should say, in the sports world. And I think the love that's being expressed and the support that's being expressed for Carl Nassib has been really encouraging. And honestly, Les, and I think that you echo these statements, everybody has a right to live their life free and to live the life that they were blessed with, without fear of, you know, being judged or, you know, retribution or anything like that. What's your takeaway over these last couple of days after the announcement that Carl Nassib made?
No, I mean, I give him a lot of credit. You know, he has a lot of courage to come forward and say what he has said. And I give him a lot of credit for that. You know, I have family and friends, you know, that live the same lifestyle that he does. And I love them no different than I love my entire family, you know. So I give him a lot of credit for that, man. I do. And, you know, you never know. Maybe there's some other people that now he's, for what he's done, that they can come forward now and also maybe, you know, share with everyone how they feel about their lifestyles and stuff. So, man, I give him a lot of credit. He has a lot of courage.
And I think, and hopefully this is the case, is that it won't be too much longer where it doesn't matter and no statements like this have to be made, no announcements like this have to be paid or said. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, one of my favorite artists of all time, Bob Marley, you know, wrote, you know, we need to get to a point where the color of a man's skin is no more significant than the color of his eyes. And I think that goes toward everything. You know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, as long as you're living a good life and being kind and nice to people, it doesn't matter. Everything else shouldn't matter. And hopefully we're going to get to a point where this is not big news and nobody has to come out and say anything because nobody cares at the end of the day. But I do want to ask you this, Les. You've been around sports for your whole life, basically. You've been in coaching situations. You've been in team situations. It's my belief, Les, that this is not going to be a factor with the Raiders whatsoever in their locker room. I think that there's a focus, whether it's an individual focus to get better and to do your job and to be responsible and accountable and productive as an individual, and then also the collective goal of winning football games and winning championships. I think that in a team setting supersedes everything else. I think that is going to be the focus. I don't think this is going to matter much in the Raider locker room. What do you think?
No, I don't think so at all. I've coached players, you know, and with a similar situation that he's in, you know, and actually there were like four actually at one time on the team that I coached, and they were great, man. They were great. You know, one was the captain of the team. They did really well. They were respectful to everyone, and everyone got along with them. There was no you know, bad feelings towards the other players or the other players towards them and the coaches. And we did well. We won a championship. So, you know, everyone was there to do a job, and they did their job to the highest level. And that's really all you can ever ask from them. And they do all the right things, right? Like, he's doing all the right things. He has a great job. He's not disrupting the team. He's doing his job at the best he can. He's probably a great friend. I don't know him personally, but I'm sure he is. He seems that way. And his parents love him, and his family loves him, and so he should be, you know, he sounds like a great guy, man.
You know and yeah. Isn't sports beautiful in that way, that ultimately it comes down to, can you get the job done? And that's really how you're judged in sports. Can you be counted on? Can I trust you to do your job while I do mine? And can you be an asset to this team? And it's shown throughout history that after certain barriers have been broken, Jackie Robinson with the color line in baseball, it's ultimately comes down to, can you help us win games? And that's really what people are judged on, right?
Right, exactly. It's just, you're here to do your job and, you know, and be a great teammate and be a great person, is a good person. And that's really all it's about, right? You know, like, what, you know, he's doing what makes him happy. And everyone should just be happy for him that he's happy. You get what I'm saying? So
Yep, absolutely.
No, yeah.
We're talking to Les Kekahuna from Embajador Tequila, and they always have some great things on the horizon and in the works, and we appreciate them for that. Les, we had talked, you and I, about Damon Arnette, the Raiders' second-year cornerback. You know, I know in talking to you, you've had some high hopes for him. You've looked at the tape, you've watched him play, going back to Ohio State. There's talent there, Les, and it's unquestioned talent. The kid can play football. For whatever reason, it hasn't, you know, translated yet to the NFL, and it sure seems like the Raiders are sending him some messages that he's got to fight for his job, and he's got to step it up a little bit. You know, in your experiences, that could, I would imagine that can go both ways. Either you respond and step it up, or you don't like that message and you go in the other direction. Any gut feeling on how this might work out for Damon Arnette?
You know, I mean, I'm sure he should be okay because, you know, obviously he's come from a big program like Ohio State, right? So he's been at a big program and now at the NFL. And not to make excuses for him, but, you know, last season they had no preseason games. You know, it was tough because of COVID. So, you know, he was kind of learning as they went along. And then he suffered, I believe, like two injuries. He had a, you know, broken hand at one point, and I think he suffered from, a concussion?
Yep.
And so, you know, like those are the kind of things that really hurt your progression, you know, as a player. And, you know, and then they changed the defensive coordinator in the middle of the year, and then now they bring on a new defensive coordinator. And I don't think, you know, it's definitely not his physical ability. He's in the NFL, and those guys are less than 1%. So it's not his physical ability. I think it's more mental. And, you know, with Ron Miles coming in as a defensive back coach and Casey Hayward being brought in, and, you know, like, he's more familiar because I believe he played with Ron Miles and Gus for about 5-6 years. So he's familiar with that scheme. And so, you know, maybe in, you know, Arnette's, you know, to his somewhat defense, you know, he's kind of like he's learning a new system. So it may hurt him. And then maybe he sees that, you know, then, you know, obviously he was brought in by his former coach. So, you know, he might think like, oh, wow, you know, it's kind of tough for me to compete, you know, with this guy who's more familiar with the defensive scheme, he's familiar with the defensive back coaches, you know, how he puts his schemes together. So, I mean, I think it's more mental, and I think he should be okay because he has this off season, you know, now to learn and get going and now he has a healthy season. You know, he's healthy now, you know, so now I believe he should be okay. I hope so, at least, you know. He was drafted, number 19 in the first round. So,
yep.
You know, he definitely has that kind of ability. I believe in him, and, you know, and I hope he you know, everything works out for him.
I got a quick question for you. There was a he played some slot cornerback, you know, in college at Ohio State. You know, when I touched in with some Raider people trying to figure out, well, hey, maybe he can move to the slot. And much like Casey Hayward did earlier in his career, play the slot and then eventually move back outside and become a good player at that position. Casey Hayward did it in the slot, then he went outside. But there was a little bit of skepticism that I got from Raider people about their belief that Damon Arnette could pull that position switch off right now. You're a defensive guy, and folks, when I say that Les knows his defense, he knows his defense. Can you shed any light on why is that such a difficult transition for some players, going from that outside cornerback spot to the slot cornerback spot?
Well, from what it's just my belief. It's tough when you play inside because that receiver has either way to go, I guess. You know, you could say, like, as a cornerback, you can kind of squeeze him to the sideline. He can use some of your non-moving brackets and whatnot. I think it's really tough to play inside, you know, but because of them having the option of going in, out, you know, up the field and whatnot. So it's a tough position to play, but yeah, I could see him possibly moving in there because the way the league has been now with all the spread offense and these five wide empty packages, you can never have enough defensive backs, right? You know,
so, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, you can never have enough.
And then there's also a little bit more run responsibility, I would imagine, right? On that inside, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to have some run responsibility from being, you know, tight to the core, I guess, you know, you could say more.
Well, we'll see. And, you know, I think that I'm with you, Les. I think he's being pushed, and I think he's going to respond. And if so, I think it'll be fine for him. It might not happen overnight, and maybe he does have to sit a little bit and learn behind a Casey Hayward, which is not a bad option to have. Casey Hayward is an established cornerback who's been there, done that, and I think is going to be a real asset for the Raiders. But the book doesn't have to be written on Damon Arnette right now. And there's going to be plenty of times, even in a reserve role, if that's what happens. You just said it. There's so many empties, you know, five receivers out there, five options to throw to, that I would imagine that he's going to see the field one way or another, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's competition is good. You know what I mean? Like, you need competition. It keeps you sharp. You know, and so it's good to have Casey there pushing him, you know, teaching him some veteran stuff. And I believe he's like a two-time second-team All-Pro as well. So, I mean, geez, the guy can play, right? You know, so, you know, you got someone like that he can learn from. And I hope he looks at it that way, that you know, as someone that he can learn from and compete and push him. You know, it's the only way you can get better. You know,
absolutely. All right, Les. I mentioned Aloha Fridays. Is there anything else going on around town that you guys are a part of? And if you can let people know where they can go, whether it's any restaurants or clubs around town or bars around town to get their Embajador Tequila.
So there's a new restaurant that had just opened. It's called Casa Amigos, but it was also formerly called Casa Mariscos, and there's a banda playing this Friday. If everyone's, you know, not busy doing something, they're more than welcome to come down. There's going to be a group called Los Caretes, and they're a very famous group, and the address is 3740 East Flamingo Road, 3740 East Flamingo Road, zip code 89121, right here in Las Vegas. So it'll be great music. They have tequila there, Embajador. Great food, great host, great owner. He's a huge Raider fan. The owner is a huge Raider fan. So it works out perfect. And, I'm excited for him and hope to see some of the Raider fans there having a good time.
Absolutely. We're going to make that happen. Les, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Truly appreciate it. This is going to be a regular thing, and Les is going to shed insight not just on football, which he is as good as it gets in that regard, but then also keeping us informed on all the events that Embajador Tequila is a part of. And they do some really, really great things for the community, and I'm happy and honored to be a part of their family, and we're going to keep hearing about things that they're doing down the road. So, Les, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Have a good rest of your Tuesday, and I'll talk to you soon, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Vinny. You have a great day, and I really appreciate all the support. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
You too, man. You too. That's Les Cacahuna from Embajador Tequila. And you guys got to, if you ever get a chance, and they do a lot of the Polynesian camps, whether it's in Las Vegas, there's some things that they do in California too. The Hall of Fame, event that they put together every year. It's just so inspiring and how that community, the impact that community has had on football, and it just continues to grow. It's really, really a special thing, and we appreciate all of his support and all of his insight. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Right back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Gangster Raiders on the line wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Gangster Raider?
I'm all right. You, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
All right. I just want to talk about Carl Nassib, and I don't care, you know, what you are, as long as you can play football and do your thing, because, you know, growing up, I used to be a Bulls fan, and at first I used to like Dennis Rodman when he was a Piston, but when he came over to the Bulls and he started doing, you know, you know, his flamboyant stuff or whatever. It didn't bother me. As long as he came and grabbed them rebounds and played defense. You know, so long as you do your job and get it done on the field, that's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? But I'm in Phoenix now because I'm a Clipper fan for this Clipper game. And I want to talk about Derek Carr, because to me, Derek Carr is more like Paul George. He needs to be more like Kawhi Leonard. And what I mean is, Paul George, he got a bunch of social media, and he follows what people say. He really cares about people who think about him. He got a bunch of accomplishments, or should I say, he got a bunch of statistics where he doesn't have the necessary accomplishment to go along with those statistics. When on the other hand, Kawhi doesn't have any social media. He doesn't really care about what people say. He's a two-time finals MVP, and he's a true leader of his team. And so I got another Clipper fan who also is a Raider fan. We was talking about this the other day. But we wish Derek Carr would be more like Kawhi Leonard and less Paul George. You understand what I'm saying?
And yeah, but I mean, let me just stop you right there. I mean, go look at the San Antonio team that Kawhi Leonard was on. I mean, Derek Carr has not been on a team that had the kind of talent that those San Antonio Spurs teams had, nor, for that matter, even in Toronto, the team that, you know, Kawhi Leonard had in Toronto was a darn good team, and they won a championship, in a year where, let's face it, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant went out in that series, Klay Thompson went out in that series, so
Kawhi pointed the more. Because Kawhi played with those great players, but he ended up being the finals and the MVP, even with Tim Duncan on the floor, even with Tony Parker on the floor, even with Ginobili, he ended up being MVP. You see what I'm saying?
There's no question that Kawhi Leonard is a great player. I'm not with it with the whole dial it down during the regular season. I get why he does it, but to me, I want my champions being the last man standing. I want you to be the test of the whole season. Like, I need you to play every single game. I don't need you to be taking games off just so you can be strong at the end of the season. I don't believe in it. I think there's way to
match. Right,
there's
way. Derek played almost every game in 2016, but missed the playoffs. So he should have been in that game. I was at that game when he got injured at the Coast. He should have been in the game. We was up by, I think, 18. At the point, at that time, late in the third quarter, he should even been in the game.
But you can't. In the NBA, it's different in football compared to the NBA. And you could definitely blame the coach for that. But I mean, my man Kawhi literally sits
games out. You keep moving the goalposts on me, Vinny.
How am I moving the goalposts on you?
You trying to say it's different? You know, so if you're the one that brought up the comparison. Now I'm trying to show you that Derek Carr got injured, played every game the 2016 season, but he got injured in the 16th week and didn't play the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Injuries is injuries. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. You keep moving.
Kawhi doesn't sit out because of injuries. He sits out because they want to try to manage. They want to try to trick the system.
He has a knee injury. He's been having a knee injury for years that he's managing. That's why he's
Remember when
that guy from Golden State stepped under him? He's been having knee problems since then.
But every player that I've ever Gangster Raider, I used to work for the Lakers. I covered the Lakers for many, many years, the NBA for many years. Every player that I've ever talked to is dealing with something. Trust me, there's nobody that's close to 100% or completely healthy. Kobe Bryant played with every ailment that you could possibly play with and never missed games on purpose. So I just don't respect it, to be honest with you. I think Kawhi is a great player. But I don't respect the approach that they take with him with the kids gloves during the regular season. That's just my two cents. And
what I'm saying is, I wish Derek Carr was more of a solid leader. Didn't listen to the outside hype. Didn't have social media. Didn't care what they said on First Take or on Skip and Bayless. I mean, on Shannon and Skip. That he just put his nose down and focus on the grind, more like Kawhi instead of Paul George.
I hear you with that.
You're missing that point, and you're trying to gloss over it.
Are you saying that Derek Carr is the reason the Raiders haven't been winning? Are you saying that it was Derek Carr's fault that they didn't win last year? More games?
Mostly it's John Gruden, but I said mostly it's Gruden, but he's a part of it too.
It was the defense. It was the defense more than anything else. 99% was the
quarterback. They all have to take
not blame. The quarterback. It was just the defense. We're going to go back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Dijon wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Dijon?
Hey man, how you doing, man? I just wanted to say, first of all, I think Derek Carr is a damn good quarterback, and I think we can win with him. I think we can go to the bowl with him. He keeps improving every year. His stats improve every year. It's not Derek Carr. I'm a Derek Carr defender. To all my friends, every time anybody want to bring it up, but how do you think the target between Aguilar will be split between Ruggs, John Brown, and everybody? You got Moreau there now. You got Drake in the backfield now. Do you think he'll split those 80-plus targets up between those? Do you think somebody will get more targets than the other? Or do you think that he will actually have more targets thrown to more people, or they will throw more this year? I just want to know your opinion.
All right, let me. I'm going to go to the LA Rams in 2018. They were 13-3, right? I just want to show you some target distributions. Todd Gurley had 254 carries. He had to sit out the last two games because he got hurt that year, right? Receiving, Todd Gurley had 81 targets in the pass game. 81 in the pass game, Todd Gurley did. Robert Woods had 130. Brandon Cooks had 117. Cooper Kupp in eight games had 55. It would have been... it would have been over 100 had he played that full season, because Josh Reynolds comes in and he gets 53, targets in his eight starts. Okay, so I guess what I'm saying is, if I look at the Rams in 2018, you had a bunch of guys producing, and it was just one football, but they managed to get Todd Gurley 81 targets in the receiving game, plus 256 carries in the run game. They managed to get Robert Woods 130 targets. They managed to get Brandon Cooks 117 targets. They managed to get between Cooper Kupp, Gerald Everett, and Josh Reynolds 158 targets between those three players. So there's a way that they're going to be able to do it. I think you have to get Henry Ruggs 80 targets this year. Period! Exclamation point. If not more, I think you're going to get your 100 or so targets to Darren Waller. I think that you can look at those numbers that I just showed you. I think between Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake, I think that each of those guys combined, could get to that 81 target that Todd Gurley had in the pass game.
Right.
Let alone the run. So there, you know what I'm saying? Like, it can happen. There's a way, and I've seen it with my own two eyes, how Sean McVay and Jared Goff were able to distribute the ball amongst some really, really good players. How do you think it's going to play out?
To be honest, Mr. Lee, I like Bryan Edwards. I really do. I think he can be what we need him to be. As we're just not like a superstar game. I'm not a superstar person. If everybody does their role, I feel like everybody can get the job done. I hope Bryan Edwards does what he has to do. But I want, if you have a Tyreek Hill type of player, then I feel like you really do have to get him the type of ball. He's going to be open, whether it's from a screen, tosses, or even decoy. I feel like he has to get those 80-something targets, just like you said, man. I just be trying to defend my players to my friends. It's like, we have it, but that defense really, really, really has to step up. I feel like we can have a top-10 offense, and I feel like we're going to have a top-10 offense again, but I feel like our defense, in order for us to make the playoffs the way it's shaping around right now, it's not really that many bad teams anymore. So I say we have to at least get in the top 15 defensively, but I don't know if that will happen this year. I have high hopes, but we got to get that defense to match at least a little bit with that offense,
I agree, and I really appreciate the call. And as I look at those Rams distributions, I could see Bryan Edwards getting 67 targets. I can see Henry Ruggs getting 80 and above targets. I could see, obviously, Darren Waller getting 100 or so targets. I could see, between Hunter Renfrow, Willie Snead and John Brown combined well over, 140 or so targets. I'm looking literally at the Rams' target distributions in the pass game from 2018. And look, 81 to Todd Gurley, 130 to Robert Woods, 117 to Brandon Cooks, 55 to Cooper Kupp, who got hurt that year. He only played 8 games. He was on pace for 110, 50 for Gerald Everett, the tight end, and 53 for Josh Reynolds, who replaced Cooper Kupp. So there you go. There's no way that when you look at the Raiders, that they can't get a bunch of guys into that 80 to 100 category, and then right below them, that 55 to 65, 70 realm. And if you do, then I think that this offense, obviously guys like Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs have to produce when the ball's in their hands. But there's no excuse. I think Henry Ruggs needs to get targeted 80 some odd times this season. And maybe even more, because it's 17 games, not 16 as it was back in 2018. So can you imagine the production that he can put up, the effect that he can have on the Raiders offense with the ball in his hands, are getting targeted 80, 90 times. I mean, come on. That means that he's going to be probably catching 60 to 70 balls, and then doing something with it. And I think he needs to be featured in the run game too. Not a lot, but I think he needs to get more than the 9 carries that he got last year. I think you get 20, 25 touches in the run game. How many runs? Robert Woods had 19 attempts in the run game. Brandon Cooks had 10 attempts in the run game. So those are two guys that, wide receivers, that the Rams made it a point to get the ball. That's one a game. More than one a game for both of those players, to see what you could get. And I just remember both of those players coming up with some big plays in that run game. So I know it's just one ball, but there's 17 games in a season, and there's a lot of snaps during the course of a game. There's no reason that you can't spread that ball around more than what they've done in the past. And I think that, for the Raiders' perspective, I think John Gruden is just, kind of like a kid in a candy store right now. He's looking at Josh Jacobs. He's looking at Kenyon Drake. He's looking at an improved Henry Ruggs. He's looking at, what I think they think is an improved Bryan Edwards. Foster Moreau is going to be a big part of things. When I look at that Rams tight end group, in 2018, Gerald Everett had 50 targets and Tyler Higbee had 34. So, I think that somebody like, and that's, I think when you look at it from the Rams perspective or the Raiders perspective, you're going to get 120 or 20 to 30 touches for Darren Waller. But that doesn't mean that Foster Moreau can't have 40 to 50 targets himself. And I think he's going to, if that is the case, he's going to put up some nice numbers too. So there's a lot to like about this offense. There's a lot of possibilities with this offense. There's a lot of versatility with this offense. And knowing John Gruden, I know that he's just champing at the bit to put it all out there. We did get a glimpse of things in minicamp of what might be up his sleeve, but I can't wait for training camp to see what it looks like in that setting. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now back to your host, Vinny Bonsignore.
Trying to find what LeBron's numbers were when the MVP Kawhi Leonard was defending him. Yeah, 25.3 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists against Kawhi, who was, I don't know. I like Kawhi Leonard. I think he's a great player. I think he was on a really good team in San Antonio and had a lot of help. And I think he had a ton of help in Toronto. In fact,
you old guys not wanting players to have help?
Obviously, that's my whole point about Derek Carr. That's why I can't understand what the heck Gangster Raider was saying, I'm, what do you mean me? I watched the great Laker teams and Celtic teams who were loaded. None of those guys were winning it by themselves. I never subscribed to that. LeBron James has never won by himself. Michael Jordan never won by himself. This whole notion that guys can win by themselves is incredibly ignorant, and everybody has had help, including the great Michael Jordan. He lost. He didn't make the finals the first 7 years of his career because other teams were better. Other teams had better players. He needed help. He needed Scottie Pippen to grow into Scottie Pippen. He needed Horace Grant. He needed the help that he ended up getting. That's my point. Like, I don't get where he said he needs to be more like Kawhi Leonard. Why? Kawhi Leonard has gotten a lot of help over the years, and that's great, and you need that. Look at Steph Curry. He can't win championships when Klay Thompson is sidelined. You have to have your teammates. The point I've always made about Derek Carr is he's never had a great supporting cast. And last year was the best supporting cast, I think, that he's had collectively, offensively, in a long time. And you saw what he was able to do. Where he wasn't, the supporting cast that he didn't have, just like in the NBA where you have to play both sides of the field, at some point you got to play defense. The defense just wasn't up to par. So if you put Kawhi Leonard on last year's Raiders team, if as good as Kawhi Leonard is, he's not winning a championship because it was a flawed team. And the teams that Derek Carr has played on have been flawed teams. Can he win a Super Bowl with a great supporting cast? I don't know the answer to that necessarily. We'll see. But he's never been given that opportunity. And to say that you want him to be more like Kawhi Leonard, you know what? If I'm Raider Nation, what I'd rather see? I'd rather see the Raiders put the kind of talent around Derek that the San Antonio Spurs had alongside Kawhi Leonard when he was, at that point in his career, kind of the third option or so. And then in Toronto, the kind of talent that he had in Toronto. That's what I think is more important. Derek Carr doesn't need to be more like Kawhi Leonard. The teams around him need to be more like the teams around Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, his comparison was really off. I don't know where I don't know if it was like a social media thing, but Derek Carr really doesn't use social media that much. Neither does Kawhi. As the only comparison, like Paul George, that I said, maybe a good stats, bad team guy. But then bad team, obviously falls on the team, not the guy who's putting up good stats. But there really is no apples to apples. It's not even apples to oranges trying to compare Derek Carr to Kawhi Leonard.
That's what I was saying. And I do have a lot of I honestly do have a lot of respect for Kawhi. I understand why they do the load management thing. It's not necessarily my cup of tea because I've seen too many guys over the course of the years take it seriously in terms of being part of winning a championship. To me, is being that last person standing throughout from pole to pole, from start to finish, and you don't take breaks. Like when you're in a marathon or something like that, you can't go sit on the sidelines for take periodic breaks and then just start back where you were when you left off. It doesn't work that way, and I think it's a little bit of a gaming of the system. And to take it even a step further, man, there's so many people who pay a lot of money to go watch these guys play. And, LeBron talks about it a lot of times about how when he goes on the road and he's playing in, Indiana, there might be a kid that drove with his dad all the way from Louisville, Kentucky or Cincinnati, Ohio, which is, within a few hours drive. And I guarantee you this happens specifically to go see LeBron James. And he feels like above all else, he owes it to those fans to show up and play. And I think that's admirable. And that has always sort of been the mindset in the past. You talk to all the great players, and for many of the current players, they feel like, hey, I get who was it just recently that was talking about that? Like, man, I get paid to play. That's what I do. That's my job, is to play. I'm going to find that quote in a little bit. And the whole notion of not playing for him was like, no, this is what I do. I get paid to play. And
isn't there also an obligation to your body and taking care of your body as a player? This thing that's affording you to get paid too much?
Yeah. Yes, you do. But you do that to me There's ways to do both. Manage the minutes, you know. You don't have to play 48 minutes every night. There's ways to play 36, 28, 33 minutes per night. But I think when you're in a I get why he's doing it. He's trying to create the easiest path available. That's what he's trying to do. And I just would hate for everyone to be of that mindset, because with the prices of these tickets, and the importance of
Kawhi doesn't control ticket prices. Why is it on him?
Because
Kawhi doesn't control the ticket prices. I know, How is that on him?
It's not on him. He needs, do you get the difference between LeBron James understanding that responsibility and saying, not that he, I don't care if it's $5 a ticket, somebody that's going to maybe that maybe save their money. And you got to understand, like, it does cost a lot of money to go to these games, and people do have to set aside pennies and quarters and dollar bills, and maybe, you know, curtail a night, a couple of nights out, just to be able to buy those tickets and make the drive and pay for the parking and pay for the popcorn and stuff like that. And somebody like LeBron gets that, and many others. Kawhi doesn't necessarily. I don't think it registers with him. I don't think he necessarily cares about that.
And yes, because why should he? If you work up your money, if you save, like, this is no offense to fans, because I'm broke myself. I am a broke fan too. But like, oh, if Kawhi tears his ACL at the game, you saying, man, he was thinking about resting it anyway. But you know, he was doing it. He was doing it because little Timmy in row B. It's just like, oh, well, thanks. Now the team that you worked so hard to see, their best player just tore his ACL in the game you can't watch. You're not going to be happy about that. Now that your team's like out of playoff contention.
You take that chance, but it's not just when, you know, he does it all throughout the year. It's not just
when. Yes, because he's preserving his body, and we just saw in the playoffs that his body's fragile.
You don't have to explain to me why he does it. I disagree with it. I don't think it's, I think it's like I said, it's gaming the system. It's gaming the system to your advantage. And at the same time, it's also shortchanging fans who work pretty hard. If you're going to do that, just do it for the home games. You know, if you're going to sit out games, I think there should be a rule that just do it for the home games, not the road games, because the road games are, you know, you're one of the stars of the league. There is a responsibility to that. His pay is in great part predicated on ticket sales, TV sales, all of those things. So he is the direct beneficiary of the money that's generated by those ticket, by those ticket sales and by that money sales. Remember, when you talk about salary caps and you talk about the players' union and the NBA and the league's agreement on pay, it's always a split of everything that's made. The players get 50% or 49%. The owners get 51 or 50%, depending on what the sport is. So all that money that's generated is what goes into the players' pockets. And I know the younger generation just doesn't quite get, hey, that responsibility of, you know, inspiring the next group that's coming and understanding that responsibility of, hey, you know what? I'm here in Chicago. There could be people, coming in from Iowa just to see me play. Me, LeBron James. That's why people go to games, to see some of these stars. Heck, for years, the Clippers were so bad that their whole marketing system was to say, hey, come see Larry Bird and Dr. J, and Michael Jordan, because they didn't have their own players to really market. Their whole marketing campaign was come to the Clippers to see all these great other NBA players play. So imagine, and listen, guys like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Steph Curry and LeBron, almost everybody in the league except for Kawhi adheres to that. And I just think that, and maybe there's a little karma. I don't know, but he hasn't been able to, to me.
A little karma? Take it easy.
Yeah, that's what
Let's say this. Derrick Rose, the Clippers first three seasons, he played like basically every game. Derrick Rose, first three seasons, has that injury in like his fourth season. Now, let's say, Derrick Rose, if you're not like in the top 10 in minutes for the season, for like these first three seasons of your career, let's say if like you, maybe he's not playing back to backs. Let's say if he played like 60 games a career, he would have had his prime would have been longer. Derrick Rose is going to take that.
I think
you're going to take that. If he's
no,
like, hey,
I, no, I don't
remember
think
remember Brandon
that,
Roy.
I don't, like, hey, I don't
if
think
we, if we can.
Brandon Roy was no. I do not think for one second that Derrick Rose would take that trade off. I think in retrospect, what he would do was, I don't need to be top 10 in minutes played per game every year or during those years. There's no way, knowing Derrick Rose, that he's going to sit out any games. He's just not going to do it because he ain't wired that way. And Brandon Roy was. His injury preceded coming into the NBA. He was, I hate to use this term, but a little bit of a, there was a timeline. There was an expiration date on Brandon. Unfortunately, that guy was a really, really good player. But I think he just figured, I'm going to get everything that I can out of this. I don't think that limiting his games would have necessarily reduced any of the risk. He was, you know, that knee or that leg, there was kind of a ticking time bomb aspect to it. It was going to eventually go. So, yeah, I completely disagree with you on Derrick Rose. I don't think he makes that trade-off whatsoever. I don't think if you told him, hey, if you could go back in time and just play 60 games a year and sit out for no reason, you know, 22 of them or what is it? Yeah, 22 of them. Would you do that? He's like, heck, get out of here.
Catastrophic knee. Okay, yeah, cool.
He'd say no. He would not do it. He's too much of a competitor. It means too much to him. I guarantee you that. Let's try to get him on the show and ask him. Guarantee he wouldn't do it. I want to say thanks to all of our guests today: Sam Farmer, Q Myers, our good friend Les Kekahuma from Embajador Tequila. Thank you to all the callers, including you, Gangster Raider. I don't know where you're going with that analogy, but I think if you put teams around Derek, the kind of teams that you've put around Kawhi Leonard, around Derek Carr, he'll be fine. He has been fine. He's not the issue. It's that defense. I want to say thanks to Damon Cotton, our great producer, who's going to go do some load management, I'm sure, right now. And we respect that about him. But honestly, thank you for all the help making it sound good and everything of that nature. We'll be back at it tomorrow. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.